Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Today we have some updates from this week's primary elections and debate highlights in the presidential race. On our Capitol Report, hear about a controversy over payday lenders and a fight for the soul of the Democratic Party. Here in San Diego, we'll have the latest on the countywide murder rate. And then on sports, we'll tell you about the Aztecs' success in the Mountain West. MTS is being urged to upgrade its security to protect the privacy of riders from hackers. On Destination East County, we'll have all the most fun festivals and events coming up this week, from St. Patrick's Day events to egg hunts, garden tours, and much, much more. Our newsmaker today is Ben Colasso, the president of the Chaldean American Chamber of Commerce. He'll be talking about the issues that Iraqi Chaldeans are concerned about in the upcoming presidential election, and he'll also have some comments for us on the Grossmont Union High School District redistricting plans. We'll have all these stories and more, so stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. This is Miriam Raftery with some updates in the presidential primary race. Senator Bernie Sanders scored an upset victory this week over former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in the Michigan primary, shocking pollsters who had predicted Clinton would win by as much as 20 points in the delegate-rich state. Clinton did win in Mississippi, however, maintaining her edge overall, though Sanders is narrowing the gap. A record turnout of 2.5 million people in Michigan helped Donald Trump also win big in the Republican primary. The billionaire businessman also won Mississippi and the Hawaiian Republican caucus. Senator Ted Cruz placed second in all three states, strengthening his position as the only Republican likely to have any chance to top Trump before the Republican nominating convention. Currently, Trump has 458 delegates, Cruz 359, Marco Rubio 151, and John Kasich 54. To win the GOP nomination requires 1,237 delegates. On the Democratic side, Clinton has 760 delegates and Sanders 546 of those determined by the popular vote. But Clinton still has a commanding lead among superdelegates, with 461 pledged to Clinton and just 25 to Sanders. Sanders could close the gap further or surpass Clinton in the popular vote, since nearly all of the southern states, Clinton's strongest area, have voted already. Sanders' win in Michigan shows his ability to connect with voters in urban industrial areas, with primaries in other industrial states such as Ohio and Illinois coming up soon. Large liberal states with massive numbers of delegates follow soon after, including California, New York, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. So what accounted for that Sanders surge on the Democratic side? A debate in Flint, Michigan, after the last polls, showed Clinton misleading voters by claiming Sanders opposed the auto bailout bill. He actually supported it as a standalone bill, but voted against a bailout for big banks that had an auto industry bailout rolled into the same bill. As word spread on social media, some voters reacted angrily. Both Clinton and Sanders called for action on the Flint poisoned water crisis at the debate, but Sanders gained ground in pointing up Clinton's past support for trade pacts that sent U.S. manufacturing jobs overseas, pacts such as NAFTA, which he opposed. The latest Democratic debate in Florida focused largely on immigration issues. Though both Clinton and Sanders denounced the broad deportations touted by Trump, and both said they would not deporting children, Clinton's change of position again came to light, since she had recently voiced support for the deportation of Central American children. Post-debate polls showed most Latino voters believe Sanders won the Florida debate. Of seven major polls taken in 2016 thus far, six show that only Sanders would beat Trump. The seventh found Trump would beat either Clinton or Sanders, although Clinton would lose by a wider margin, PolitiFact reports. On the Republican side, the two latest debates provided some memorable moments. Trump scored a dubious first in a presidential debate by boasting about the size of his manhood, noting that Rubio had referred to, quote, "my hands. If they're small, something else must be small. I guarantee you there's no problem," he said. In a separate debate in Miami, Republicans sparred over Islam, Israel, and immigration, as well as integrity. Trump doubled down on his statement that Islam hates us, adding, "I don't want to be so politically correct. We better solve the problem before it's too late." Rubio said President's statements have consequences and noted that to weed out radical Islam, America will have to work with ally nations and people of the Muslim faith. On Israeli-Palestinian relations, Trump insisted he wants to remain neutral to broker a deal, while Cruz countered that he will not be neutral. Both claimed to be pro-Israel. On immigration, Trump admitted to hypocrisy in hiring workers under the H-1B visa program that encourages legal immigration for high-skilled workers. I use it. I shouldn't be allowed to use it, said Trump, who wants to abolish the program. He drew controversy this week for urging his followers at rallies to hold up their right hands to pledge loyalty to him, an image that drew comparison to Heil Hitler salutes. He defended the actions, however. He also has drawn criticism for growing violence targeting black people at his rallies, including an incident in which a Trump supporter punched a black protester in the face. As for the possibility of a brokered Republican convention in which an outsider such as Mitt Romney might potentially emerge as the nominee if neither Trump nor Cruz gets a majority of delegates, both of the Republican frontrunners agreed on one point. They want to see delegates support whoever gets the most popular votes. This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital.
This is Ed Barreno with the Capitol Report. Battle lines have been drawn over an income inequality issue in Congress. Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren was appointed by President Obama to head up the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and rein in lender abuses. She has been fighting for regulations to regulate payday lenders, regulations now on the verge of rolling out. Her efforts have long been opposed by Republicans who took contributions from the payday loan industry. But now, Democratic National Committee Chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz is co-sponsoring a new bill that would delay the Consumer Bureau's payday loan regulations by at least 2 years. Tim Canova, who is running against Wasserman Schultz, accuses her of, quote, welcoming loan sharks into the Democratic Party in an editorial on Huffington Post. The DNC chair is also trying to drum up support from congressional Democrats to block Warren's consumer protections. Jay Henderson with Democracy for America calls this a, quote, fight for the soul of the Democratic Party, unquote. The organization has launched a petition asking the DNC chair and Democrats in Congress to stand with Elizabeth Warren and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau in the battle over payday loans. Henderson says, quote, to have the head of the Democratic Party lobby Democratic Congress members on behalf of these insidious scammers is deplorable and outrageous. Every day the payday loan industry ensnares more and more Americans in a never-ending cycle of debt. Desperate families living paycheck to paycheck face a terrible choice. Skip meals and other essentials or take out small loans with interest rates as high as 400%, unquote. Numerous consumer groups have also written a letter to all members of Congress urging them to oppose Wasserman Schultz's bill and stand up for consumers. Those consumers groups include Americans for Financial Reform, the Center for Responsible Lending, the Consumer Federation of America, the NAACP, the National Consumer Law Center, National Council of La Raza, National People's Action, Southern Poverty Law Center, and hundreds more.
This is Tasha Matthews with a Crime Beat Report. Last year, 83 people were victims of homicides in San Diego County, a 12% increase over the year before. But San Diego still ranks as having the lowest murder rate among the nation's 10 biggest cities. While San Diego's murder rate last year was 2.7 per 100,000 residents, Philadelphia and Chicago, the worst cities in the nation for homicides, had 16 and 17 murders for every 100,000 residents, over 5 times higher than America's finest city. The San Diego Union-Tribune reports that about 28% of local killings remained unsolved. The rest, 72%, were resolved either through an arrest or death of a suspect. The biggest increase was in murder-suicides, which jumped from 2 victims in 2014 to 12 in the last year. But fights were the number one factor in local homicide cases. The victim ranged from very young, in cases of child abuse, to 2 cases involving elderly couples. Guns were the weapon used in the vast majority of murders. Most victims were males, and blacks were killed at a disproportionate rate, accounting for 22% of homicide victims, but only 5% of the county's population. Many of the cases involved people in close relationships. Richard Winslow Hobbs, 72, in El Cajon died of severe head injuries in an assault. His roommate was charged with his murder. In a separate incident, an El Cajon man was arrested for the beating death of his mother. On the Barona Indian Reserve, a toddler's severely abused body was found in a freezer and his mother's boyfriend was shot dead. The mother was released from custody without charges. But some cases involved death at the hands of a stranger. A suspected drunk driver who ran a light at Gulf Crest in Navajo was charged with a murder after killing Rocia de Anda Limon, a 38-year-old mother of three who was crossing the street when she was struck and thrown 57 feet. Some efforts are being made to reduce the local murder rate. San Diego Police Department's Community Assistance Support Team, for instance, works to prevent retaliation in cases of gang violence. Another program teaches the communication skills in order to prevent fights. The county offers some mental health and crisis services, including a suicide hotline that can be reached by calling 888-724-7240 or in an emergency, dial 911.
This is Liz Albin with a sports report for East County Magazine here on KNSJ. Four San Diego State basketball players, along with head coach Steve Fisher, took home Mountain West Conference honors that were announced on Sunday afternoon. Senior forward Winston Shepard III made second team All-Mountain West, a distinction he was given in 2015 as well. He averaged 12.6 points, 6.8 rebounds, and 3.3 assists in conference play, during which the Aztecs went 16-2. They also had two players, sophomore guard Trey Kell and freshman guard Jeremy Hemsley, to the All-Mountain West third team, giving the Aztecs a league-high three players named on the All-Conference teams. Kell led SDSU with 16.2 points in Mountain West play, scoring in double figures in all 18 games against Mountain West competition. Hemsley was one of two freshmen to make an All-Conference team, earning the honor by leading the Aztecs with 13.1 points per game, the most for a freshman in the Mountain West. Senior forward Skylar Spencer was named Defensive Player of the Year, his second consecutive season winning the award, and was named to the Mountain West Honorable Mention Team after averaging 1.6 blocks and 6 rebounds per game. Fisher's Coach of the Year award was his fourth since he came to San Diego State, and his first since 2014.
The San Diego City Council representatives on the MTS Board of Directors pushed the MTS to offer a better payment card system, one that will ensure customers' data safety. The push comes after it was revealed that Compass cards, cards that riders tap on scanners at trolley and bus stations to ride, don't meet payment card industry security standards, leaving transit riders open to credit card fraud. David Alvarez, one of the city council members who's a member of the MTS, told CBS 8 that technology used by the public agencies needs to be the best and safest possible. He went on to say, from the multitude of students riding to school to those who go to work, professionals who are traveling, and even tourists who come to our city, placing them at risk is unacceptable and needs to be remedied as soon as possible. MTS should immediately upgrade its payment processing system. Councilman Lori Zapp proposed cards with stored value, which would act as a sort of credit card that passengers can load with money, which would decrease with each ride. She urges the Compass cards are useful for monthly and daily riders, but aren't convenient for those who only ride the trolley and buses to sporting events, and that stored value cards are being used in every major transit system in the United States. In a letter to the MTS, CEO Paul Jablonski, Zapp, and Alvarez asked for an update on the card issue at the board's next meeting on March 17th. However, MTS spokesman Rob Shoup told City News Service that MTS is already working on the problem. We have made significant progress already, well in advance of the news conference, Shoup said. MTS continues to invest in its fare collection system to address PCI compliance, stored value, and other major enhancements. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Leon Thompson.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, networking for social justice.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This is Leon Thompson.
And this is Miriam Raftery, guest hosting Destination East County. This week's Destination East County includes a Gatlin Brothers concert, a St. Patrick's Day fun run, a Circle of Art show in Borrego Springs, and live theater, including Mac and Mabel, set in the silent movie era of yesteryear.
Plus, we'll have previews of coming attractions, including Tomato Mania for garden lovers, Lake Jennings Spring Carnival, Garden Tours Galore, and a Spring Harp Fest in La Mesa. So stay tuned for all these events and much more.
The Young Adult Theater will present Snoopy, the musical, featuring all of the Peanuts characters, including Charlie Brown, Lucy, Linus, and that mischief-making beagle Snoopy. Shows will be performed at the Encore Theater at Spring Valley, with the junior cast on March 11th, 13th, and a senior cast on March 17th and 20th. For tickets and details, you can visit yatsandiego.org. That stands for Young Adult Theater.
Lamplighters Community Theater will present the Tony Award nominee Mac and Mabel at the new Lamplighters Community Theater, March 11th through April 10th. Step back into yesteryear in this saga of the silent film era when movies were movies. Mac and Mabel deals with the complex relationship between legendary film director Mac Sennett, a temperamental workaholic, and the adorable Mabel Normand, a waitress who became one of his biggest stars. The story is told in flashback style by Mac, reminiscing about the past, his triumphs, his love affair with Mabel, and her rise to stardom before talkies made the silent film industry obsolete. For tickets and more information, go to lamplighterlamesa.com.
The Hakumba Hikers and Walkers will be leading a trek to the Valley of the Moon, which may include Smuggler's Cave, an old hideout of bandits and smugglers off I-8 East just past the San Diego Imperial County line in a high desert area near the Mexican border. Possible side trips may include Elliott Mine and Blue Angel Peak Monument. This four-hour hike is rated hard with a distance of 7 to 8.5 miles round trip. You can meet at the Hakumba Spa on Old Highway 80 at 8 a.m. Bring a swimsuit and a towel to soak in the mineral hot springs later on. Lunch and breakfast are available for purchase at the spa.
Country music greats Larry Gatlin and the Gatlin Brothers will be performing in concert at Sequan's Live and Up Close Theater on Saturday, March 12th at 8 p.m. Grammy Award-winning Larry Gatlin has written hit songs for many famous musical stars, including Elvis Presley, Glen Campbell, and Johnny Cash. For tickets and more information, you can go to sequan.com.
East County's St. Patrick's Day Half Marathon, 5K Run Walk, Green Mile, and Tribes and Clans competition will be held this year on Saturday, March 12th, the weekend before St. Patrick's Day. This event aims to involve the entire family in fun and fitness. These St. Patrick's Day events will also feature a finish line festival, health wellness fair, and craft beer invitational. Participants are encouraged to wear green and vie for prizes for best costumes. Funds raised will benefit several East County charities. The event is hosted by the Run East County Foundation this week. And to register, volunteer, or get more info, you can visit stpatricksdayhalf.com.
Tomato Mania returns to El Cajon this spring at the Water Conservation Garden at Cuyamaca College on March 12th and 13th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. This event features seeds and seedlings of classic hybrids, rare and unique heirloom varieties, and everything else needed to have a successful tomato garden this summer, along with tomato gathering supplies and advice from the Tomato Mania team. Tomato Mania has created an online community of heirloom and hybrid tomato lovers and a traveling tomato seedling sale that is the world's largest, or what the New York Times has called the Tomato Freaks Woodstock. For more information, visit thegarden.org.
More than 60 artists will exhibit their works at the Circle of Art Show in Borrego Springs on Saturday and Sunday, March 12th and 13th. The artists work in a variety of media, including fine arts, oils and watercolors, photography, sculpture, pottery, ceramics, jewelry, fabric art, and more. This two-day show includes music, food, and free admission. The event will be held at Christmas Tree Circle in the heart of Borrego Springs. For more information, you can visit circle-of-art.org.
Pacific Suns Youth Chorus will perform on Sunday, March 13th from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. at Parkway Plaza. The Pacific Suns are San Diego County's Young Men's Honor Chorus, singing barbershop harmony and contemporary a cappella to the Macy's Court. You are invited to hear some classic barbershop flavored with doo-wop, country and western, patriotic, gospel, swing, and Broadway tunes. For more information, you can go to shoppingparkwayplaza.com.
You're invited to dust off your favorite green outfit and join Barron's Market in Alpine on Wednesday, March 16th for a St. Paddy's Day-themed beer and food tasting with San Diego brewer Modern Times. Barron's backroom beer pairings transform loading docks and stockrooms into food and local beer speakeasies. Friends and neighbors will gather at their neighborhood store to sample local brews paired with savory appetizers made from the market's selection of all-natural ingredients. For tickets and details, you can visit barronsmarket.com. Now for a preview of coming attractions.
You're invited to bring the kids out to Lake Jennings' second annual Spring Carnival. The festivities will be on Saturday, March 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and will include an egg hunt, face painting, paddle boating, and a fully stocked kids' pond, plus 2,000 pounds of trout. To learn more and get directions, visit lakejennings.org.
It's garden tour time in the desert, and the 18th annual Borrego Springs Garden Tour invites visitors to experience private gardens and homes at your own pace on Saturday, March 19th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The attractions include Happy Days, the former home of James and Helen Copley at La Casa del Zorro Resort, and five other gardens, several with open homes located in beautiful Borrego Springs during the height of the spring wildflower bloom. For tickets and information, you can visit the Borrego Desert Nature Center in Borrego Springs at abdnha.org, or you can call 760-767-3098. The Borrego Garden Tour is a fundraising event in support of the Anza Borrego Desert Natural History Association.
You're invited to the 16th Annual Spring Harp Fest, a musical celebration on March 26th from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. at Harry Griffin Park in La Mesa. The festival features top harmonica performers playing blues music and more, as well as an unknown artist jam session. The mission is to inspire appreciation for the harmonica in the next generation. While admission is free, donations are welcome and are used to provide gifts of harmonicas to local school music programs. For a full lineup of talent slated to perform, you can check out springharpfest.org.
Santee Lakes invites you to bring the kids for its annual extravaganza on Saturday, March 26th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. This fun-filled event features continuous egg hunts, live entertainment, a petting zoo, craft booths, and carnival rides, all hosted by the Padre Dam Municipal Water District and City of Santee. Admission is free, though there are small fees for rides and parking. Learn more at santeelakes.com.
The Water Conservation Garden invites the public to its first annual WaterWise Home Garden Tour on Saturday, March 26th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The self-guided tour will highlight a variety of five beautiful gardens located in El Cajon, La Mesa, and Rancho San Diego, utilizing an array of color, variety, and low water usage. Learn about using native succulents, cacti, and Mediterranean plants, and how you can design your yard for low water usage plants. The gardens emphasize plants from semi-arid regions of the world. Succulent cuttings from many of the home tours will be on sale, as well as other garden and home items such as birdhouses, pottery, and garden jewelry, all handmade by local artisans. The garden's director of horticulture will be available to talk about how to redesign your landscape using low water usage plants. For tickets and more information, you can go to thegarden.org.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website, or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering,
Get trained to be a citizen journalist and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Today, my very special guest is Ben Colasio. Ben is the president of the Chaldean American Chamber of Commerce, and he's here today to talk about the concerns of Iraqi Chaldean Americans in the upcoming presidential election. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
For listeners who may not be familiar, can you tell us just who the Chaldeans are?
Chaldeans are a group from northern Iraq, made up of Christian Iraqis who migrated here in the United States in the mid-century, let's say 1950s or so. The influx of them migrated in 1990, and now we have 68,000 Chaldeans and Assyrians in San Diego.
Yeah, quite a large population here. So as we look at this presidential election, obviously this has got to be of great concern to the Chaldean population, not only from an international standpoint in terms of what's happening in the Middle East, but also the situation regarding how refugees will be treated, as well as issues that would affect small businesses. Many of the Chaldeans are very prosperous small business owners here, and the domestic issues that certainly are on the agenda, jobs and so forth. So let's start with the international issues. What are the opinions that you are hearing from the Chaldeans? I don't know if there's a consensus, if there's a variety of opinions, in terms of from a foreign policy standpoint, what are their concerns that they want to hear addressed by whoever the next president will be?
The majority consensus between the Chaldean and Assyrian community is that they want intervention and they want to create peace and a piece of land that the Assyrians and Chaldeans in Iraq and in Syria can call home and be safe. Mm-hmm. So in looking at that, they're looking at a candidate who has a tough rhetoric, who says things like, you know, we're going to bomb the crap out of ISIS and we're going to go in there and neutralize the situation. So that's the overall consensus. But I fear that that's a problem, if they're going to vote solely based on what the candidate's, international outlook is. Mm-hmm. So for instance, that will completely eclipse really important issues such as, the unemployment rate, healthcare, infrastructure here within America.
Is it not also a concern that some of the candidates who are talking the toughest about bombing the Middle East into oblivion over there, bombing ISIS, are also some of the same candidates who have wanted to take a very hard line against immigration, whether that's Mexicans, whether that's Muslims from the Middle East? Is there a concern that that could also, electing someone like that could also shut down immigration of refugees who are Chaldean, who are trying to flee ISIS in the Middle East and come to America?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has, but we shouldn't be ignorant and say that there isn't a mechanism in place to figure out who is a Christian and who is a Muslim and who is a Jew and who is an atheist and who is that. We definitely have these in place. These countries where they come from, they collect data, the same sort of data on a very, very large scale. They used to do that during Saddam Hussein's time. So I can only imagine what they can do now. But, the rhetoric from these candidates who have a strong stances on immigration, leaving Mexico aside, because I think talking about the immigration issue on the border between California or Mexico or something is a non-starter. Mm-hmm. I think that it's ridiculous to think that you can deport X amount of millions of Hispanics.
Yeah, today even Duncan Hunter, who actually has endorsed Donald Trump, came out and said that Trump's talk about deporting 11 million Americans is absolutely unrealistic and can't be done.
Yeah, so let's not even waste any time giving that airtime. But to talk about the real issue about immigration as it pertains to the Middle Eastern crisis, mm-hmm. that is a real issue. And I don't know, and I So clearly I'm not a Donald Trump supporter, but I don't know how wrong he is when he says we have to assess the situation of Muslim refugees coming through the border, because you can't just overlook things, some of the statistics that have, you know, 70 or 80% of the refugees coming in are 14 to 35 year old males. You can't overlook some of these things. I mean,
I think he's tapped into a real concern people have, understandably somewhat, yeah, about the potential for ISIS to infiltrate, you know, among the refugees, for us to get more folks coming here who want to do what the San Bernardino bombers
for
did,
sure,
for
I
example.
Mean,
so the question is, how do we as Americans vet and weed that out? Do we keep everybody out? Constitutionally, I don't think you could keep out people of any just one religion, even if one wanted to do that. It's been argued
but
that it's not constitutional.
But even, yeah, even if it's constitutional or not, as somebody who upholds a constitution, you have to understand that this document was written when ISIS wasn't in existence.
True.
So now that it is, we have to reevaluate for our safety who comes in and who doesn't come in. Now, we're clearly sympathetic to the cause. We're very humanitarian. You don't have to be Christian to be humanitarian. You can be any, you don't have to have any religion to do that. But you have to put political correctness aside and say, if there's a chance that you're going to get an ISIS member or Al-Shabaab member or one of these Nusra Front members or Al-Qaeda member getting snuck in through the refugees, within the refugees, which is something that's not only possible, but plausible. Mm-hmm. You have to reassess this whole situation. So I don't know if we need to create these sort of detention facilities where you can detain the refugees coming in, vet them properly, contact whatever country they came in, make sure that somebody else knows them. I mean, the process has to be so rigorous that you have to make sure that if one of these refugees has a cousin who fights for ISIS, I'm sorry, they're not going to be able to come in. It's just, there's such a fine line between being an Islamist and a jihadist, right? So we have to address that, and not talking political correctness. Unfortunately, some of these candidates on the GOP side, they're right, but for the wrong reasons. You know, I mean, take somebody like Ted Cruz, who you look at him and he can't wait for the rapture. but some of the things he says are right, but again, they're for the wrong reasons. It's not something any intellectual or a secular person would suggest based on the evidence he's putting forward. They would suggest it based on pragmatic reasons.
It's kind of like Trump with his racism. You know, one worries when you see him not wanting to disavow a white supremacist KKK leader and retweeting things like a white supremacist, you know, tweet of Bernie Sanders in a gas chamber or something like that, that while he may have some legitimate concerns about certain immigrants, at the same time, there seems to be this rather overt racist following that he has. Is that something that is of concern?
Well, I think that the Chaldean and Assyrian communities, more so I think with the Chaldean community, I think they oversee that. That part, because I think they include themselves in that white Caucasian category.
Interesting.
So they're playing.
They're not
that,
worried about him.
Yeah, they're not worried about the whole. He's not talking about me. That's the kind of attitude that they have. But I think that all gets really eclipsed by the fact that Chaldeans are business people, and Trump obviously is a business person. So there's great appeal that this successful billionaire has on the Chaldean community.
Some of those business people, yeah.
I mean, a lot of these business people. So.
Before we move on to domestic, on the international side, you've talked about a lot of Chaldeans obviously having support for bombing ISIS in the hope perhaps of making their homeland safe or avenging what's happened to the families. We should note that there's been what many are calling a Christian genocide going on over there. Certainly, you know, many, many murders and brutal actions by ISIS against Christians as well as even people of some other faiths.
Right, Yazidis and some of the Kurds and then Shiite Arabs. So it's not just a Christian genocide.
Right. I know in the past I've heard you talk at one point about wishing that instead of just trying to evacuate everybody out of there, make everybody a refugee, that the world could make places like
create a
province within Iraq that could be a safe haven for Christians once again or other minorities. Do you believe that's still possible? Is that, and are any of the candidates talking at all about that?
No, it's very possible to do something like that. It would require a lot of money and it would require a lot of support and teamwork from countries like France, from Russia and Germany and the United States. The problem is that these countries don't work with each other unless they very much have to, unless it's in the best interest of themselves. This country, you know, we're speaking about America too. So what's in it for them is the question, right? To create a different province in Iraq that houses Chaldeans, Assyrians, Yazidis, Shabaks, and these other Sabis and Mandai and all these other people. What's in it for them? Really nothing. Right now, they can go test out some bombs that some military contractor created or some planes and test all that out on ISIS, and then they get contracts for them. So the Chaldean community is looking at the international issues, and I think it's trumping the domestic issues. Not to use that, you know, not to use the word Trump out of context, but.
If you could ask one question, if you were a moderator on the next debate, whether it's Democratic or Republican or both of them, what question would you want to ask these guys, or in Mrs. Clinton's case, this gal?
Well, I think that, okay, so for Bernie Sanders, I really would like to have more of I like a lot of the domestic policies that he has. Clearly on the educational level, we like a lot of what he says. And I think the Chaldean community needs to look at that, because the next generation growing up, they're not liquor store owners. They're not gas station owners. They're intellectuals who are going to school. They're coming out of school with tremendous amounts of debt. My sister is a doctor, and she has, I think, $350,000 in debt.
He's called free community colleges
Correct.
For everyone.
So I'd like to ask, and I'd like to, for him to break it down. I know that he's not previewed to a lot of the information as a sitting president would, so he can't tell you exactly where he would allocate certain funds. But I want it broken down a little bit more than that. And I'd like to have the conversation about what he's going to do in the Middle East to be broken down into more detail. With Hillary Clinton, I want to ask the questions because I think it's important to the Chaldean community. While she says that she fights for the working class small business, there's really nothing that I can see in her history that points us to that direction. Everything that she does is more on a bigger scale, more on the one percenter scale.
She certainly has taken a lot of money.
Yeah. This is important.
Wall Street.
From Wall Street and other big corporations, she was in favor of the bailout, like we saw in the last debate. And this is very important. I mean, you look at these small businesses that Chaldeans run, and when they go under, when they're struggling, there's nobody there to bail them out.
Right.
So that was an important thing. I'm going to not bring up Marco Rubio, because I probably think that in the next 2 weeks he's going to be out. Not too many Chaldeans follow him anyway.
We've mentioned Kasich as well. We haven't mentioned
We're going to not mention Kasich as well, because I don't know how much he's going to be involved.
Yeah, it looks like it's boiling down to Ted Cruz and
Chaldeans
Trump.
And Chaldeans like Ted Cruz as well. I think the split is there. I think because they vote biblically, which is, to me, I mean, very elementary. I think it's immature to do.
But because he's a social conservative on issues like abortion, for instance.
Right. So they're gonna completely negate everything else that he's talking about. And just because he's gonna say, well, I think marriage should be between a man and a woman, and they're gonna just be like, you know what, that's my guy. But you talk about he's gonna be detrimental to the stem cell research programs that we have, a lot of the healthcare systems that are put in place. So,
and those healthcare systems certainly would be important for
definitely
not only business owners, but certainly
employees and employers. It's for everybody,
right? As well as people who don't have a job. Maybe they're a new refugee over here, just getting a leg up.
And there are so many of these new refugees. I spoke to a few of them today at the chamber office, where I asked them, "Can you name me some of the candidates running?" And their response was, "No, I can't. And why do I care? Because I don't have my citizenship." Well, that answer is so wrong on many levels. Because
what percentage of those 65,000 that we have living in San Diego that are Chaldeans have their citizenship been? Do you know?
Yeah, I think it's about 65% the last time we checked.
So that's actually a lot.
It's a lot. But then you have to include, obviously, 18 and older and whatnot. But mm-hmm. even still, the refugees are constantly being poured in here.
Right.
So they have to know who's running. I understand that they can't vote, but that doesn't mean they can't campaign and they can't put up signs
or
canvas.
They can be active in every other way.
Or they have to know who's going to be in charge of the country, because that affects them when it comes to their minimum wage, to their health care, to just their daily life. So I understand that they can't vote, but they very much need to get themselves involved, because whoever ends up being the president affects their life greatly.
There's, of course, a couple of wild cards in the race here. It's looking like on the Republican side, they may very well have a brokered convention if neither Trump nor Cruz is able to secure the majority of votes. And there's been talk of them maybe even coming up with a wild card, putting forth Mitt Romney at the convention or someone. Do we know anything about his positions on the issues that the Chaldeans care most about?
He's going to have a lot of the same stances as Ted Cruz has, even though one's evangelical and one's Mormon. But, I mean, look, Mitt Romney, he's been a failed candidate a couple times before. I don't know how much better he can do than Cruz would do, but I mean, if I had to choose between Mitt Romney, Ted Cruz, or Donald Trump, I would pick Donald Trump.
Interesting. Very interesting.
And it would be for different reasons than most people would think just listening to it. But I mean, I wouldn't say, oh, because of his strong business background or anything like that. No, I would say that personally, I think that he can differentiate between church and state. He's not a stupid person. He might say some things that most people would find not to be PC enough, or they might sound immature or moronic. I'm not a Trump supporter by any means, but he's not, definitely not a stupid person. But,
like the less offensive of the three in your opinion.
I think, well, you look at the one who's not going to take their marching orders from a pastor, a priest, or a rabbi. I think he's going to be the guy that's not going to do that.
Yeah, interesting. Or a political party for that.
Or a political party, of course. I mean, you look at the GOP is very methodical and strategic in who they pick and how they groom them. And it's almost like a recycling center with their candidates.
Well, it's been, an interesting thing about this election, really on both sides, has been the rise of candidates that did not have the support of the political parties. On the Democratic side, we've certainly seen Bernie Sanders, who is a registered independent, the only registered independent in Congress who was running as a Democrat, of course, in the presidential race.
Well, I think he understands that he has to have a party in order to have a chance. But then he's also a social Democrat. He's not, he's a social Democrat, so he's not a cookie cutter Democrat. It's funny too, because a lot of the Chaldeans, I see these Facebook posts all the time.
Yeah.
And they'll say something like, well, he's a socialist, so, America's going to be the next Nazi Germany because the Nazis were national socialists. And I'm always tempted to send them a WikiLinks definition definition of what a democratic socialist is and a national socialist.
They don't understand the difference.
No, and I'm not about to get into the debates with people that have all the time in the world to be on Facebook. But you look at some of the things that concerns with the Chaldean community currently, and they're completely – they're appalled by the actions of the Obama administration when it comes to foreign policy issue.
Yeah, tell us about that. What do they think the biggest mistakes are that Obama has made that they would hope that perhaps a future president would handle differently?
Well, as myself, I'm a staunch Obama supporter. And let me tell you what I think the mistake that Obama is making right now. I think the biggest mistake he's making is not addressing the issue when it comes to attacks happening domestically and internationally, as calling them straying away from saying that this is a Muslim issue, that these attackers are Muslim. They never use that. They'll say things like, this doesn't represent Islam and it doesn't represent the Muslim beliefs. Well, I think that's completely wrong. I don't, we can't.
Big PC, in other words.
Yeah, no, he has to say that. And we have to, you can't fix a problem without addressing the problem. So using that and just to be PC and just to appease a majority of the Muslim community, I understand why he's doing it, but it really doesn't help us. So the Chaldean community capitalizes on that, especially them being staunch Catholic or Christian, whichever church they come from, whether that's Eastern Rite or the ancient church. They look at that and say, automatically they'll say that he's obviously taking the sides of the Muslims. And here we are.
It's like we haven't really heard him use the term Christian genocide yet. I know he's been asked to.
And I'm not really looking for that. I don't, because there's a Yazidi genocide as well that has been going on. There's other minority groups that have been killed. Obviously, ISIS has killed more Shiite Arabs than anybody else. But I'm not so concerned that he uses the word Christian genocide that I am him using that it is a Muslim problem, and that moderate Muslims have to stand up and reform and speak out. And yet we see them every now and again, but it's nowhere near the number of Muslims quiet about it.
Yeah.
So they use that opportunity to capitalize, to speak up, to speak out against Obama. They never say Barack Obama without saying Barack Hussein Obama. Mm-hmm. And coming from the Middle East, that Hussein insert is made to be a below the belt, hey, this guy is Muslim.
Yeah, everyone thinks of Saddam Hussein. What are some of the other domestic issues that are of biggest concern for the Chaldeans, and to what degree do these foremost prominent candidates have stances that address those issues, or are they just not being addressed?
I think on the GOP side, they're being addressed more so than on the Democratic side. Because, so, in general, Chaldeans don't vote. Okay, I'm painting this with a broad brush, but when I say in general they don't vote, I don't mean every, you know, I'm sure I'm going to get some really nasty Facebook message saying, what do you mean I don't vote and I've been voting? Well, I'm not talking about you then. I'm talking about maybe
statistically.
Statistically. And I'm comfortable to bring that number up to a high 80 percentile. I was a candidate before, I know. Mm-hmm. So I think that they're talking about the international Middle Eastern conflicts that are happening. That's really hitting home with a lot of the older generation mm-hmm. Chaldeans.
So you're saying the Republicans are doing a better job
reaching out to the older generation.
On the international.
Right. So you have like the Chaldean community in general who doesn't really vote. And then of the ones that vote, they're going to be older. So you have the younger, we have the same issues that in the general white Americans have, that the young people don't vote. Yeah. So we have it more so in the Chaldean community. And the issues that should have their undivided attention, such as healthcare, such as minimum wage, such as education, things that the Democratic side is talking about, they're not really paying attention to. And I think that's, we need to do a better job educating them. We try as best we can at the Chaldean Chamber, but when the topic isn't sexy, quote unquote, mm-hmm. it's hard for them to engage.
Yeah. My next question was going to be, what would it take, do you think, to motivate more Chaldeans to vote? Is it they just don't feel like there's a candidate that's addressing their issues? Is it they don't think their vote will matter? Why aren't they voting?
The ones who are citizens, and it all depends on how long they've been a citizen, how long they've been in America. You take a person who's been in America for, let's say, 10 years, and of no fault of their own, but when looking at somebody like Ben Carson, who they liked because the way he speaks was religious, they'll first tell you, well, you know that black guy up there. Rather than somebody, a Chaldean who's been in America for 20, 30, 40 years, when they tell you about somebody like Ben Carson, whether he's black or not is way, way further down the conversation. So, and this is a no fault of their own. This is just the byproduct of their upbringing. You know, the ethnocentric attitude comes with being in the Middle East.
Yeah.
So I think it's obviously it's an evolution. So in 10 years from now, I might come here and say that, 50% of Chaldeans and Assyrians are voting. So unfortunately, it's not the case now. I don't have the magic wand to wave and say, you know, you guys got to get up there and vote. But I would presume that education would be the motivational driver for these people. And the only candidate really talking about making it affordable is going to be Bernie Sanders. Hillary Clinton touches on that too. Mm-hmm. Nobody from the GOP side.
What is motivating the young people?
Instagram.
Okay.
So
Instagram. So they're getting the news on Instagram.
I mean, yeah. I mean, so, and also you have to remember, we lost somebody. A lot of Chaldeans used to, the ones that do vote, you know, the 20% that do vote, yeah. they used to get their news from somebody like Jon Stewart. They've now, I don't know how much Trevor Noah has been affecting their scruples, but Bill Maher is some, I mean, obviously I'm naming a lot of the yeah. Democrats side, but you know what? I like Megyn Kelly too, on Fox. I think she's
been tough. Aggressive and going
She's
after.
Aggressive. She'll ask the appropriate questions. I think she's very smart. And so
she tangled with Trump.
Then. She tangles with a lot of people. Yeah. Chris Wallace, I think is a good interviewer. He's pretty strong.
Recently started a Chaldean TV network. Tell us about what motivated that.
So the Chamber, for those that don't know, also owns the Miss Middle East beauty pageant. And we also started, not a Chaldean network, but a Middle Eastern network called MEGA, Middle Eastern Global Alliance. Although we own it, it's completely independently run. So mm-hmm. I don't, you know,
it's
for those
not
listening.
Partisan.
No, it's
not,
definitely not partisan. No. Well, it's anti-stupid. So we're.
That's okay. So are we.
Yeah. So it's anti-stupid. And so I chose to make it Middle Eastern because we want to engulf and include everybody in there. I mean.
So it has not just Chaldean viewpoints, but other views of other people from the Middle East as well.
Definitely. It's going to have, it's a secular channel. It's going to have pragmatic questions, pragmatic reasoning, logical ways of looking at things. So we recently covered the Grossmont Union High School District. The issues that were happening there with.
Yeah, we just did interviews this morning that'll be airing, you know, soon on that.
Yeah. So those issues they're not just Chaldean issues, although that, because we live in San Diego County, Chaldeans coming from the Middle East have the largest minority coming from the Middle East. So everybody refers to people from the Middle East as Chaldeans over here. But, it's funny. So, you know, when we were at the meeting, Priscilla Schreiber asked the demographer, is Chaldean a protected language class? And he said that it wasn't. And I think that's what I took away from the meeting as being the most important thing. I want to work with some of these state assembly representatives.
We're talking, for those that aren't familiar here, about the controversial redistricting plan that the Grossmont Union High School District came up with.
Right. I should have set that up. Yeah.
So that's okay. But at any rate, one of the concerns raised was that in drawing up trustee districts for people to vote in, that they seem to have divided up the large Chaldean voting block into about three different districts with the plan that they approved.
Correct. So, okay. So, well, so then I went in there with that mindset because we had so many parents and concerned citizens calling the chamber office. I went in there and with the mindset of, hey, what are you guys doing? Stop splitting our vote. And then it dawned on me that, well, Chaldean wasn't a protected minority language class. And that was the real issue. That's, I think, what we need to tackle first. So,
So they may be violating the spirit of the law, but perhaps not the letter of the law, it would appear.
Yeah. So philosophically, I guess what they're doing doesn't make any sense.
Are the Chaldeans going to do anything about that? Are they going to try to get that law in California maybe changed to include Chaldeans or Middle Easterners in general as a protected class?
So the Chaldean Chamber is, you know, the only organization right now that's representing not just Chaldeans, but other Middle Easterners. We're the only professional organization for the Middle Eastern community in the county.
Should Arabic speakers be counted among those
definitely
language minorities?
We definitely have a lot of Arabic representatives on our board, and we want to fight for those. So the way I was thinking about this, and we take a school like El Cajon Valley High School, for instance, which has a plethora of Middle Eastern refugees. You take a 14-year-old Middle Eastern refugee. And I'm going to use this term very loosely here. A white, somebody who's white, who grew up here, American, and they're taking their standardized testing. Well, it's more unfair for the white person taking that test that they have to be graded as a school with a refugee coming in, you know, when they do their testing, because they don't have a class and because the refugees are still categorized as white, to bring down that test score. I mean, they really have nothing in common. The 14-year-old refugee and the American kid that grew up here, besides breathing. I think that it's unfair to put those two together. So it's
comparing apples and oranges.
Right. What I'm getting at is it's important to create a different class. I think it's going to have a dual benefit.
So this gets to the importance of elections in general. We've been talking primarily about presidential, but obviously all the way down to school board, it can be really important for people in the Chaldean community, as in all communities, to understand their rights, educate themselves on the issues and the candidates, and get out to vote.
Yeah, I mean, we can get a candidate, and the Chaldean Chamber can fund a candidate. I think we have something like $100,000 in our budget that we can spend on anything that we want, but it has to make sense. For instance, I come from the school of understanding where we're not going to support a Chaldean candidate just because they're Chaldean. That doesn't make any sense.
It could be some other candidate who's supportive on Chaldean issues.
Correct. I mean, yeah, it definitely could be that, and more of the times it is that, and we have no problem doing that. So I don't want the listeners to say that, you know, the Chaldean Chamber is only pushing pro-Chaldean agenda. I think that's immature. I think that's, you know, I think it's elementary to think that way. But the issue of the Chaldean voting, the Chaldean language not being protected and they're not being classified, I think that's a fair battle to take on. Mm-hmm. And we'll be more than willing to do that. We have a team of lawyers we can use at our disposal anytime.
Very, very interesting. I'm going to let you have the final word today, Ben, but what would you say to those people, Chaldeans and others, who may be sitting at home just not planning to vote, or maybe not knowing where they can get information about the candidates? What would you say to the Chaldeans who are eligible to vote in terms of where can they go to get more unbiased information about just who these candidates are, what they stand for, and be able to make an informed decision when they go into the ballot box?
Well, for those who are thinking that they're going to stay home, I think that's just a complete, complete waste of your time. And it just goes against everything that this wonderful country has been built on. So you have to get out there and vote. And if you aren't eligible to vote, we went over some things that should be of great concern to you. You can always get familiarized with the candidates, because whoever wins is going to affect you, whether you're a citizen or not. Mm-hmm. If you're not a citizen, you're still going to pay your taxes. You're still going to have wages. You're still going to have healthcare or not. So these all affect you. Where they can get information about the candidates, we have a political committee within the chamber that, mm-hmm. that is unbiased. Mm-hmm. But everybody has a bias. I mean, to say that nobody's unbiased, everybody has a little bit of a bias, whether they care deeply about outer space exploration or the environment or women's rights.
Right.
So everybody has that. We're very conscious of that. But I want to urge them to not sit there and vote religiously. That's, I think, going to be the thing that's going to hurt them the most. Mm-hmm. You can be religious all day you want, 7 days a week. This has no issue. But
you might be voting against your own self-interest on a lot of other issues.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, we, you know, you look at somebody like Dick Cheney, who changed his position on the LGBT community because his daughter was a lesbian. Mm-hmm. You look at the late Nancy Reagan, who changed her position on stem cell research when Ronald Reagan got Alzheimer's. Right. You don't want to be that kind of voter. Well, you want to be educated.
America is a system of checks and balances. Mm-hmm. So even if, for example, let's say a liberal Democrat were to be elected as president, you still have two houses of Congress and a Supreme Court that can sort of check that. So, you know, currently, for example, both houses of Congress are in Republican control.
Hands.
If that
Correct.
Stays or even one house remains in Republican control, you're not going to have somebody running through, you know, radically leftist things or policies.
Yeah, so yeah, and that's very important.
There are checks.
Yeah, there are checks and balances. They have to go through the bureaucracy of all the different mechanisms that were put in place responsibly, so that you don't get somebody, you don't get a Hitler, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they should be rest assured in the system. It's not a perfect system, but it's one of the greatest systems that we have in the world. So they should definitely not stay home. If they have any questions, I know our chamber does these meet your candidates nights. I know this is on a more of a local level,
but
it's very important because we do have congressmen and senators and county supervisors, and these are your next state senators and U.S. senators, and eventually become governors and so on. So
let us
get
know
involved.
When those are coming up.
They're again, coming up.
We will definitely publicize that on our site too.
Sure.
For people who may want to come, and we'll come and try to cover some of those. I would end by saying to any of those that think your vote doesn't count, there's an awful lot of elections that have been decided on very close votes. We've had some locally. We had a couple school board ones out in East County, some of the smaller districts.
I mean, mine, I lost a city council in Elkhorn by less than half of 1%. So
yeah, it can happen. You know, President Kennedy years ago was elected by an average of one vote per precinct nationwide.
Yeah, so
one
this does
vote
happen.
Per precinct. We had a school board election, you know, Warner Springs, I think it was decided by one or two votes total last time. So
get out there and vote. As that's the message. I know it's not a sexy thing. It's been talked, and you've heard the same punchline over and over, but it's very, very important. I think this election is probably one of the most important ones in our lifetime, given what's happening internationally, given what's happening in the economy, the different border issues we have. So please, I urge you, if you have any questions, they can call the chamber office. We can speak to you in English. Nahchiyakum Arabi, Kmahkan Surath. You habla español también. We can do it in every language that they want. So
there you go. And if you're not yet registered to vote, if you are a citizen and you're not yet registered, or you're not sure if you're registered,
we can help you.
Yeah, you can check with the chamber, or you can go to the San Diego Registrar of Voters website.
Oh yeah, let me give them the phone number to our chamber office, 619-663-7710. Marie, our secretary, will answer, and you can be transferred to me or whoever else you want to talk to.
Very good. What's the website for your chamber, Ben?
It's ChaldeanAmericanChamber.com. I know it's sort of long, and Chaldean is spelled Chaldean.
Very good. And your new news site that people can go to if they want to check out the videos that you've got now?
It's meganetwork.tv, but I'm not sure if it launched because it's only a week old. I think they can just find it on YouTube. It's meganetwork, M-E-G-A, and we're on Facebook. We're everywhere. So
very good.
Good.
Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. Listeners, if you just tuned in, we've been speaking with Ben Colasso, the president of the Chaldean American Chamber of Commerce. Thank you so much for joining us on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show.
We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space,
to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso.
We extend our appreciation to our sound technicians, Leon Thompson and Ed Barena, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery.
We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Kevin McLeod,
and Pond 5.
We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment.
If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.